Good morning. Human nature. You know, I hear the words human nature and I cringe because I know I'm about to hear something depressing. Depressing at best, downright bigoted at worst. Oh, you know, those people with their greed and their lust and their violence. Hey, my mom is one of those people, so back off. And don't bring my children into it either. They're human too. When did we develop such a low opinion of such a good-looking primate? Did our primitive Neolithic ancestors hate themselves for behaving like animals? Probably not. If they had all become cave monks, we wouldn't be alive today. Well, anyway, this pessimism about human nature is actually a very recent phenomenon. It rose up with the walls of the first cities that were built to keep wild nature outside, with the unfortunate side effect of keeping civilized people inside, packed like sardines, swarming in poor sanitation, competition for a pot to piss in, and yuck, people began to say, human nature stinks. Ironically, it's the people most segregated from nature who make us feel so bad about the natural aspects of being human. Then, in an even greater irony, the blame gets laid on tribal peoples. Those wild, topless jungle savages. Cover your shame, you hippies. If God wanted to see you naked, he would have, well, now anyway, put a shirt on. We as people hear so many times that humanity is naturally a plague, a virus, a disease on the planet that we can forget that the human was once an indispensable part of nature. Or why else would nature have kept us around for those millions of years? Not just for our simian good looks. We developed here for a purpose. And maybe not to be the cops and kings. Maybe to be the clowns of the animal kingdom. Fact, only human beings put clown makeup on themselves, or else children would cry all day at the zoo. Maybe humans are just here to feed the mosquitoes, but don't knock it, that's a very important job. Because mosquitoes feed the bats. And bat crap is one of the greatest fertilizers on earth. It's like shrimp cocktail to plants. They just love those bat droppings. We, the people, scratching our mosquito bites are a necessary link in the circle of life. Hence the old expression, hero today, guano tomorrow. But people think of human nature and they think of war. Growing up, I heard that war was as old as brotherhood. As soon as there were two young men on earth, the killing began. And growing up, I was in a near constant war with my two brothers. Our parents didn't allow toy weapons, and so everything in the house became a weapon. Pillows, Christmas gifts, asparagus, and then my parents would say, go do your roughhousing outside. Well, how do you roughhouse outside? And can we bring the pillows? No. So we would go sword fight with sticks, or we would throw snowballs or mud balls, and it's a good thing we didn't have a pet dog, because anyway, now my children fight. Jackson is really strong. He'll plow Sarah down, not to be mean. He just doesn't always notice other people. And she will lurk under her brow ridge for a while, wait until his attention is moved on to something else, which takes about 3 seconds, and then we'll hear a thud followed by Jackson screaming. Before she was born, I said I wanted her to have a name that implied toughness. So we chose the name Sarah Connor Snodgrass because of the Terminator, yes, but also because Sarah Connor means wolf princess. But it turns out she didn't need a tough name. She just needed to grow up with a big brother. Children fight, dogs fight, fish fight, mostly over territory. Territory can be land, food, a mate, parental attention. What the territory is can be completely random. Someone draws a line in a field, and two teams of football players crash against each other to defend their territory. It's part of who we are. Nature is territorial and violent. When two species or two members of the same species are competing for the same resources, there may be a scuffle. Even trees fight over a place in the sun. They just do it very, very, very slowly. And the Nature Channel can't air a 30-year episode of tree fight. But they're ruthless about it. Trees will fight their own children. For a long time, civilized cultures thought of tribal peoples as savages, primates always fighting each other. Then it became fashionable to think of tribal peoples as noble, loving, peaceful, loving everything. But seriously, no human ever has loved mosquitoes and poison ivy and bureaucrats. Natural human beings are territorial and violent. But like packs of wolves and herds of buffalo, tribes of humans never made it their goal to eradicate neighboring tribes. They would do the territorial thing, what Daniel Quinn calls the erratic retaliator strategy. But once it was clearly demonstrated that both tribes could give as good as they got, they would call it a tie. Then they would all get drunk together and swap sons and daughters in marriage. Bad blood worked out, new blood worked in, good-looking babies next year. We may imagine tribes being led by warlord maniacs, but many tribal cultures, like the Cherokee, for example, had a rule that only the elder women of the tribe could vote to choose or replace the chieftain. And it's got me wondering, how many wars would America be in right now if only grandmothers got to vote for president? Also, our energy policy would involve less coal and petroleum power, more sweaters. Then came the end of her story, 3 million years of girls gone wild, boys will be boys, territorial skirmish, and the genealogical swap meet. And the beginning of his story, 10,000 years of mafia dons engaged in nonstop turf wars to expand the territories of their extortion rackets and siphon resources, the most valuable of which were human resources. Emperors and pharaohs, then Caesars and popes and kings, amassing lands, lock, stock, and barrel. Stock, in this case, meaning topless hippies who could be collected, raised, and traded like livestock. Jesus famously said to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Unfortunately, Christianity then mutated into a religion of self-hatred, castigating believers to purge and scourge and purify themselves of all of that funky, reproductive human nature. Then the Christians would lean on their windowsills and sigh, watching their grubby tribal cousins squirreling around and laughing about it. Now we get it. We hate ourselves for wanting to jump into this game, so Jesus is telling us to feel the same way about our neighbor. And Christianity began its eternal campaign to purge and scourge and purify the heathens. Nowhere in the Gospels does Jesus technically say, "And thou shalt tie up thy superstitious granny and set her on fire alive." But everything in the Gospels is open to interpretation. Pray for your enemies can also mean pray for your enemies' souls while you hack their bodies to pieces. And so history as we know it is a sad string of enslavement, genocides, and interpretive acrobatics to justify murder in the name of peace. But that's not human nature. That's the unnatural behavior of a culture built on domination of natural resources, the most valuable of these being human resources. People we've become who are addicted to that other natural resource, the petroleum that fuels our automobiles. I've done some research and it turns out road rage is not part of human nature. Neither is texting while driving or any other activity that involves a motor vehicle. Did you know that human beings have only been driving cars for about 100 years? And I suspect that when the experiment is over, when the fad has passed, we'll all be sitting around a campfire saying, beehive hairdos, bell bottoms, plastic jackets, cars, what were we thinking? God moves in mysterious ways. One of the strangest things God ever did was giving the United States a gift, an enchanting gift that took billions of years to make, the gift of oil. Why did God create the dinosaurs? So that they could turn into fossils and into fossil fuels so that we could feed our beloved vehicles. Ironically, burning the remains of this extinct species has turned us into an endangered species. But the strange thing about this gift is that God buried so much of America's oil under other countries and planted jerks on top of it. Jerks who spit in God's face saying that we should pay for our gift. But we've already paid for it with our prayers and our pledge of allegiance to the flag. Plus, we've generously offered a little handling fee for making sure that God's gift reaches its intended recipient. But what these jerks want, it's extortion. Holding God's gift to America hostage. So then we have to go through all of this effort of building airplanes, not cheap, by the way, so that we can bomb their schools and hospitals as a reminder. Don't mess with God, and don't mess with America. And then the TV warcasters, you know, the people who couldn't make it as weather forecasters or sportscasters, so they do a little mix of both. Got a desert storm front moving in, Eagles throw a long bomb, and kapow, it looks like those school children are out for the season. But I predict they'll be back with a driving rain of terror in the next generation. The media is at war to beat the terrorists at their own game of making U.S. citizens live in fear. They even had that color-coded thing, the terometer or whatever. Yellow, stock up on Vienna sausages. Orange, stock up on automatic rifle rounds. Red, all-out shopping spree, swipe that credit card like there's no tomorrow. But while the borrowed time thing turned out to be a manufactured myth, the borrowed money was all too real. People opening their credit card bills and crying out, Al-Qaeda, Jesus Christ, Mayan gods, Klingons, King Kong, zombies, anybody, destroy the world quick before I have to pay these bills. I don't personally believe that God is going to destroy the world. It's just not God's style to let us off that easy. I do believe that humans have declared war on the earth and that the earth has been fighting back for 10,000 years. And one day, the earth will win. It's just bigger than us. And God is there telling us to stop the war and live with the earth. But most people who read the Bible only focus on a few confusing fragments that might be about evacuating the earth because it's no good. And God is listening. Wow, it's good enough for me, but it's not good enough for you? I've got to build a pie shop in the stratosphere to make you people happy? People like the idea of leaving this planet better than the idea of compromising with it. Certainly abandoning the planet would be less messy. And we've been taught that we can't live on the world's terms. You wouldn't last 2 days in the jungle. The chaos would eat you alive. And yet people with a lot less gadgets than us survived and adapted and thrived in the jungle, the wilderness, and the chaos for millions of years. Human beings are not prey animals. I know we've been taught that the law of the jungle is to kill or be killed and that everything with teeth wants to eat us. But ask any predator. Mr. Lion, what do you think of human beings? Gangly, gamey, wild, end up with a sharp stick in your eye. And for what? If I want something that tastes like chicken, I've got 100 other options. Unless you've got one of those humans that stuffed itself with French fries. What do you call it? A couch potato? Get me one of those. I'm sorry, Mr. Lion, there are no humans like that in the wild. We're really not prey animals. But still, the omnivore called man is not the peak of the food pyramid. He's a link in a circular chain, and his predator is the mosquito, who then gets eaten by the bats, and they crap out the guano that feed the plants, that feed the cows, which taste great with guacamole. And yet, ever since our culture decided to play the role of parasite on this planet, we can't stand feeding other parasites. And so we've declared war on the mosquitoes. Dirty chemical war in an attempt at genocide. But it turns out you can't fight mosquitoes without fighting the entire ecosystem. And you cannot fight the entire ecosystem without fighting your own children. Our dismal assessments of human nature always assume that the human being is somehow distinct from nature. Supernatural, fallen angels temporarily stuck in the mud. These immaculate ideals come from people who are full of crap. And I mean literally, when nature calls, even the Pope has to answer. The human species is part of nature. We eat and breathe it. We urinate and defecate it. We see, hear, feel, smell, and taste it. We walk over it. We lie under it. Even wearing space suits on the moon, we are no farther from nature than if we were swimming in the bayou. If we accept that we are part of nature and nature is part of us, then we can look again at all of that human nature, needy, greedy, lusty, and impetuous, territorial, and sometimes violent, and see that it is all part of what has kept this fragile species alive on this planet for 3 million years. And that's not all that keeps humankind alive. Human nature is also ingenuity and experimental physics in the exploration and innovation of sexual positions. Human nature is also laughing at our mistakes and sometimes not repeating them. Human nature is also children who have not yet learned when not to dance. Human nature is also, oh hell, let's try it anyway. Human nature is also, yes.